I am joined by legendary singer and actress Miss Melba Moore, who's been entertaining audiences for almost six decades. Today we talk about Melba's illustrious career, the heartaches along the way, and her new single she has out currently called Imagine. And I'm pleased to welcome, like I said, legendary R&B singer and actress Miss Melba Moore to the podcast.
Thank you.
Hi, Melba. How are you doing today?
I feel really, really good, so watch out.
Well, as I said, you've been entertaining us for almost 60 years. When you look back, can you believe that you've been doing that for that long?
Absolutely not. I was starting to get embarrassed, but I think I'd rather be grateful.
No, I get you. I mean, what has been the success to Melba's career for that long?
Well, maybe a couple of things. Not paying attention to the time that's, as it's passing, staying kind of focused on, you know, what the current challenges are, because there's always challenges. And I guess not getting overwhelmed. There's always so much to think about and to do, and things are always changing so drastically. It feels like things are always changing drastically. And then trying to keep some balance, you know.
I wanted to ask you, what do you think of the music industry today as opposed to when you started back in 19, or I'm sure when you're even younger than that, but 1967?
I love it because it's actually, in a way, it's more diverse. There's more available to you if you can handle it. I think it's better because, I mean, you can have, if you're an audience, you can have a special taste that you like, if it's country, if it's folk music, if it's film, if it's I don't know, there's so many genres that you can pick from, or you can almost kind of create your own little potpourri of what you like to have. It's much more available to the customer and much more available to the artist, I think. There's much more diversity.
Other ways to make money as well off the internet.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of synonymous. You don't make any money, you can't stay in it.
Well, that's true. That's definitely true. So how did the name Melba Moore come to be? Because I know your real first name is Beatrice.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say it that way. They just called me Beatrice. I hated that.
Beatrice, okay.
But my mother named me Beatrice Melba, and my name was Smith. I hated that. But she married a gentleman by the name of Clement Mormon, and so I took his name and shortened it.
Okay.
So I took my middle name, which is Melba, and took Mormon and shortened it to Moore. Yeah.
Was it kind of scary to go for that name at first as opposed to your original name?
I took Melba as a little girl because I hated the way people called my name. I hated that. Later on, I found out that Beatrice means blessed. So I kind of took it back, not as a stage name, because I'm already known by that, but I make sure that I say my legal name because I think it means good blessings to me, because it means bless.
Now, you are no stranger to heartaches as well, because you've definitely had your fair share from homelessness to having now a star on the Walk of Fame. And that's quite the journey there, but from
you can't walk that. You got to take a bus.
Yeah. And you talk about in Chronicle how you were on welfare after your ex kind of pretty much took everything that you had.
Right.
I guess my question is, what is it that kept you going? Because I know you also talked about how you thought about suicide as well at one time.
Well, a series of things happened where different opportunities came up. Like, for instance, I got a call to do my first gospel play, and that was a time when people like Tyler Perry, a gentleman by the name of John Welch, a gentleman by the name of Michael Matthews, were actually starting the genre. So I guess that's about like 30 years ago. And I was just about to become, just without an address, without anything, when I got called out on the road. So things like that happened that I didn't have anything to do with in terms of planning. And you might call it luck, I guess, that allowed me to keep working and find a new way to do my business, because I didn't have a bank account or an address, so I had to figure out how to do that. But people on the road showed me how to do get money orders at the post office, and, you know, how to keep my money safe on my person, and you know, not to lose my cash, and not to lose my money orders, and how to do business in just a totally different way.
And your husband, your ex-husband, was also your manager as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Charles Hudgens, I think, was his name.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah, and so he also kind of stole your daughter away from you as well. But now you guys have been able to reconnect into a beautiful relationship.
I believe that we have, and actually all three of us have found a way to get along. I'll put it that way. Well, I never did not get along with my daughter. Her home was just broken up, and she didn't have anywhere, you know, to be for a while. But all three of us have our own paths, but we're all friendly and loving each other and supporting each other now.
And your ex, Charles, worked on one of your albums here recently, didn't he? He was the executive producer or producer or something?
Well, he kind of had some ideas, but actually my daughter's the executive producer. She's my boss now.
Okay.
So I guess that's the main project that allows us to work together and be on friendly terms and kind of work out. We've had to work out some really, really serious kinks. But they're working out. I think it's quite amazing.
And you're also a woman of deep faith. I'm sure that you would say that God has really intervened. I'm sure that you would say in your whole career, from the ups to the downs, and as well.
Absolutely. Like I'm saying, the thing that saved me from being homeless was a gospel play. So it's like direct intervention.
Now I'm going to go off topic here for just a moment, and
sure.
You've been around for a long time, and when you mentioned gospel, I know there's a lot of people that have done gospel, but there's one name that comes to my mind, and that's Aretha Franklin. Did you ever get to know her at all?
I sure did, and I'm so excited about that even still. Matter of fact, it still breaks my heart that she passed away. I guess I'm sort of, I don't know, childish about certain things about the industry that sort of magical. I guess I feel like people who are that talented and that, I don't know, charismatic should not die. Breaks my heart that she passed away. I guess we kind of live in a little bit of a fantasy world, but I mean, I was a great, just a fan of hers, like so many millions of people.
Yeah.
Really. What an experience it was to be in her presence, the times that I did get to do that, and to work on shows that she hired me to. She would hire me for some of her private parties to
wow.
perform at, you know, people that she handpicked. And I sang a song that actually I got from her, Lean On Me, not Bill Withers, but Ben McCoy's Lean On Me, that has become kind of a signature piece for me, and she encouraged me with it, and it's just really, you know, just an exciting series of experiences to have a relationship with her.
And I think her mother passed away here not that long ago as well, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure about that. I don't know about that.
Oh, okay. All right. Sounds good. But going back to your music, You are no stranger to music. Growing up, your mom actually had a hit song herself called Don't Stop Now.
Right. Yeah. She was a recording artist, and I guess you might call her cabaret artist or club artist. And she and my stepdad worked together in a group that they formed, and they worked in combo. They had like a little group, like piano, bass, and drums, and guitar, and she was a singer. They worked together.
Okay. Did you travel around with them when you were younger as well?
Well, yeah, but after she married my stepdad, and he had a son and a daughter, so us kids would go on the road with them during the summer times and watch them perform, you know. And of course they would rehearse in our home, and there was always music, and more music.
Absolutely. So let's talk about your new hit single that you have out now called Imagine. There we go. That's the word I'm trying to say. So, but anyways, can you tell us what that's about?
It's about imagining a place of hope, a place of peace, where peace rules. Oh, just cut that off. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. No worries.
Where peace rules every street. No more hate. We'd all be free. It's another fantasy about having peace and everybody getting along.
Okay. Don't you wish that we could just all get along in this world? I mean,
somebody said that once, right?
Yeah.
Can we all just get along? But I think it really has to, people have to hear the song to see what I'm talking about, because you hear about songs of peace all the time. But I think the difference is in whether or not you like the song is really the music and how it flows. And it's very, very beautifully arranged with this wonderful guitar that comes in the beginning. And it sounds like a really cool, like smooth jazz type of an arrangement. And I feel like I'm sort of like, rather than an outstanding solo on the record, I feel like I'm one of the instruments. It's more like that. And so I think you can get the feeling that I'm performing it, of course, but more the feeling of a soothing sweetness that would fill the air if this were the case, and you were on the street and you heard this song playing, and you know everybody would just kind of get along, I think, if you heard this song.
Get along, absolutely. So you also, next month, will be performing in Los Angeles with a gentleman named Kenny Lattenmore.
Right.
Will you guys be going on tour, or will it be just that show?
Well, right now it's that, what was one show, but they've already picked up a second show, so it's picking up steam. Who knows? Something may come out of it. Right now it's due to play just for one weekend, January 11th, at the Wilshire Evil Theater in Los Angeles. But it's selling out and they're adding shows, so maybe I'll get to go on tour with Kenny.
Well, I hope you come to Kansas City if that comes.
To.
Yeah. But so I also have one final question for you, Melba. What advice do you give to aspiring artists today that want to make it in the music industry?
Go for it, honey, because it's bigger and better than it ever was. Try to learn what you're doing. Take some lessons or study or get some mentorship and try to learn how the business aspect of it works, especially if you're just starting out. Because you have to make a profit. You can love it all you want to, but if you don't make money at it, you won't get to keep doing it. And it's really kind of basic, really simple. You have to find out if you have talent too, and that means you have to get feedback from people and let them tell you honestly what they think about you. And that means you need to probably, if you haven't already, start to just go some places and showcase yourself. Don't worry about getting paid yet. Just get up and kind of find out what it is. You know, you have what is your talent, and how does it function?
Well, definitely. I mean, I think that a lot of people these days only try it on friends and family, and then the friends and family tell them they're good, and then once they go try it out on an audience, it's a completely different story. It seems like
it could be,
absolutely.
But I would encourage you to go for it, because the experience is social, it's grooming you, it's getting you used to seeing yourself from somebody else's point of view. It's all good.
It really is. I mean, we can never have enough musical artists in our world.
Nope.
But anyways, Melba, thank you so much for your time. God bless you, ma'am. And we hope to see you here in Kansas City if that should happen.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this very much.
Merry Christmas to you.
All right.